And, of course, to the other big story of the week right now in sports, the unexpected retirement of the horse I'll Have Another. Today held the promise of history in horse racing until the Derby Preakness winner was scratched from the Belmont Stakes. A Triple Crown will not be won this year. As NPR's Mike Pesca reports, that's yet another piece of bad news for the horse racing industry.
This would not be one of those retirement press conferences where the athlete cries and says he'll miss the game. Equine athletes, of course, don't have that capacity. It is their human overseers who must struggle with strategy. The horse's job is to just go fast. Trainer Doug O'Neill held I'll Have Another by the reins before speaking to the media assembled outside Belmont Barn 2.
Though it's far from tragic, no one died or anything like that, but it's extremely disappointing. And
tragedy, or the absence thereof, was the undercurrent of this decision. Thoroughbred horses are simultaneously wonderfully powerful and terribly fragile. Veteran horsemen all know the names. Barbaro, Eight Bells, Prairie Bayou, Union City, Gopher Wand, Mr. Nickerson, Shaker Knit, George Washington, all killed on national TV since 1990. But no one really knew the extent of equine fatalities until the New York Times published a multi-part series this year.
24 deaths a week, and these are deaths on a racetrack.
Joe Drape was co-author of that series.
Short of hunting and fishing, this could be America's deadliest sport.
The vast majority of horse deaths occur far from the glory of society, women in their finery, and network television coverage. Quarter horses in New Mexico were a particular focus of the Times series, but so was the issue of race day medication. The Jockey Club is like the American Kennel Club, but for horses. They represent the traditional racing establishment, and Jim Gagliano, their president, acknowledges racing needs reform.
We have a lot of different states with a lot of different rules, and we have a very permissive medication policies compared to other international horse racing authorities.
The drug Lasix is prescribed to control hemorrhaging in racehorses. It was in widespread use outside of New York for decades. New York legalized it in 1995. Now organizations like the Jockey Club are advocating a ban on Lasix under the theory that medicated horses push themselves harder than their bodies can handle. Rick Violet Jr., who has trained top horses and is president of the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, doesn't just disagree, he throws out that entire premise.
Lasix is kind of a red herring. It's blamed for everything from breakdowns to the rainfall in Afghanistan. The fact of the matter of getting rid of Lasix won't address breakdowns one iota.
Europe and Hong Kong don't allow race day Lasix, and they have much lower rates of death. Trainers like Violet dispute the causality, and in fact, he has broad criticisms of the Times series for leaving the impression that the worst practices of the most unethical trainers are common. Violet advocates for different reforms, reforms which the Jockey Club signs on to as well. There are too many days of racing in the U.S., they say, meaning too many unsound horses are entered into races they should be skipping. And there's no central entity that regulates racing. In the NFL, the commissioner metes out punishment. Major League Baseball invented the office of commissioner to deal with an existential crisis of its own. With that precedent in mind, I asked Times reporter Joe Drape if he could compare this moment in horse racing to another institution, sports-related or otherwise.
Horse racing right now is sort of boxing, sort of subprime mortgage. I mean, it's really corrupted itself into near irrelevance.
One celebrity horse won't change the state of racing, but a Triple Crown winner would not only have provided a lift, it might have given a dose of self-confidence, which could embolden the industry toward action. Mike Pesca, NPR News, New York.